Parshas Veschanon is very, very common that this parsha falls either relating this parsha either straight after Tisha B'Av or before Tisha B'Av, but it has a very, very close connection to Inyan D'Yoma. It's got a very close connection to what we're feeling these days of 9 days, these days of Avedus, and therefore I'd like to connect the ideas of this week's parsha directly to the lessons we have and how we should go about understanding the idea of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wants from us and how he's supposed to, in lack of a better word, celebrate Tisha B'Av. Ve'eschanan el Hashem be'eitza hi leimor. The Pasuk says, Rabbein Shebeinu Davin, ve'eschanan el Hashem be'eitza hi leimor. Rabbein Shalom is not allowing Moshe Rabbein to come in Teretz Yisrael, ve'eschanan el Hashem be'eitza hi leimor. And the Pasuk says, Moshe is begging. He's begging Rabbein Shalom, please, Matnas Chinom, please, please let me come in Teretz Yisrael. The Pnei Yeshua says, he quotes Medrash. Medrash says, "Chomesh meyos v'chomesh esrei tefillos hippol Moshe." 515 tefillos Moshe Rabbeinu davened to Rabbeinu Shleilam to lie him into Eretz Yisrael, and of course, Baruch did not listen to him. Gematria ve'eschanon, 515. Now, why 515? Why not 512? Why not 530? Why 515? Says the Pnei Yeshua, fantastic cheshbon. He says that Moshe Rabbeinu started to daven Yom Shekol Boy Meisei Midbar, the day where those people who thought they're going to die stopped dying, which is Tu B'Av. Then Moshe Rabbeinu thought that just like they had a special heter, in other words, they were supposed to die and they didn't die, and therefore the neder not to let them rest Yisrael disappeared, so to the name not to let me in the Yisrael also disappeared. So Moshe Rabbeinu started davening on Tu B'Av that he should be davening to Eretz Yisrael. Now, when did Moshe Rabbeinu actually die? Zayin Ba'Adar. So from Tu B'Av to Zayin Ba'Adar, if you work out, I'm not going into the Cheshbon properly, if you work out the months of usual months of Moleh and Choser, what you have is, you have 4 months of Moleh, 120 days, 3 months of Chosei, which are 29 days, plus 7 days in Adar, is 200 days. Okay? 200 days, times that by 3 tefillahs a day, is 600 tefillahs. Now, the idea is that in those months, there are 28 Shabbosis, and Shabbos you do not daven for personal bakoshes. If that's the case, you have 172 days, times 3 tefillahs a day is 516 tefillahs. But because the Rebbein Shleilam spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu during the day in this context, in what happened over here, Moshe Rabbeinu started davening, not during the day, started davening a little bit later, and therefore it was 515 tefillahs, which means that Moshe Rabbeinu davened every single one of Shemoneh Esrei from Tu B'Av until the day he died. Every single Shemoneh Esrei, Moshe Rabbeinu was crying to the Rebbein Shleilam, please let me enter Eretz Yisrael. Please allow me to come to Eretz Yisrael. The Medrash says, Moshe Rabbeinu said to Rabbein Shalom, if you don't let me come to Eretz Yisrael as a human being to live there, at least let me see it. And if I can't see it, allow me at least to turn into a Gilgal of an animal to go into Eretz Yisrael. And if not that, even at least into a stone. Let me be in Eretz Yisrael. He begged and he begged and he begged and he begged and he begged. Rabbein Shalom said no. So Rabbein Shalom said to him, Rav Loch, enough. Al Tosef, do not add on. I don't want to hear anymore. Stop. There's a few shadows over here. Shadow number one is the idea why Moshe Rabbeinu is not allowed in Eretz Yisrael, says the Torah, Yam lo yamantim bi lahakdisheni, because you are not able to be mekiddush Hashem by the Meimor Rivah, by hitting the rock rather than speaking to it, you're not allowed to Eretz Yisrael. What kesher is there about hitting a rock in Eretz Yisrael? What relationship is there? How can we make this connection between not hitting the rock and that they can't come into Eretz Yisrael? Okay, it's got to be a mechanech always connects a punishment with a crime. And therefore, what is that connection between not hitting the rock hitting it rather than speaking to it, okay, can't come there, sure, that's number one. Secondly, was a chet b'chlal, Moshe Rabbeinu, the Maisha did an unbelievable mess. Moshe Rabbeinu took water out of a rock, which is an unbelievable mess. So the Maisha, fine. He could have spoken to it and he hit it. But the hitting itself was an unbelievable Kiddush Hashem. So what chet was there b'chlal? Thirdly, Moshe Rabbeinu says, it's brought down in Rashi already, Moshe Rabbeinu is a Loshon of Bakosha of Eschanan, is a Loshon Ein Chinon b'chol mokim el Loshon Matnas Chinon. It always means Matnas Chinon, first Rashi in the parasha. Afa pi sheyeshem tzadikim litlois maseim hatoivim, even though the tzadikim have what to hang on, have what to connect their schusim to, Ein mevakshim me'esam mokim el Matnas Chinon. All they ask from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to give it to them absolutely free. Why? If a tzaddik has so many zechusim, why does he look for a freebie? Why does he look for something free? Why doesn't he ask Rabbeinu Shlomo, listen, I brought down a Torah, I was my nefesh for Pari. What didn't I do to save Klal Yisrael? Let me go into Eretz Yisrael. Why doesn't he do that? Why is it always Matnas Chinam? And he's dealing here with life or death, as far as Moshe Rabbeinu is concerned. Why did he only use Matnas Chinam? Why did he not use his own zechus? And lastly, the parasha says, over here, Vayomer Hashem, Eli Rav Loch, Al Toisef, the Prophet Chavot. Al Toisef, Davil Eli Oibadova Hazeh. Rav Loch Al Toisef, says the Gemara in Seta. Rav Loch Al Toisef, says the Gemara, that's your Gimel on the base.
Okay.
Your Gimel on the base, the Gemara says, Rav Loch Al Toisef, says the Gemara, Omar Rav, because of the Chet that Moshe Rabbeinu said to Bnei Levi, Rav Lochem, enough, don't ask for any more. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Rav Loch, Al Toisef, enough, don't ask for any more. What's the connection? Moshe Rabbeinu said to Bnei Korach, you're asking for Kahuna, Rav Lochem Bnei Levi. And over here HaKadosh Baruch Hu said back to him, because he said that, Hashem said back to him, Rav Loch. Moshe Rabbeinu is doing something legitimate. Moshe Rabbeinu is stopping a machlekes. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the same words and throws it back at him. And even if he does do that, what connection is there? It seems to be some kind of punishment over here. What connection is there between Rav Loch by stopping Bnei Levi complaining to Moshe Rabbeinu not being answered out to go into Eretz Yisrael? What's the connection? How does it all come together? So I saw a very, very wonderful vote from Baruch Motcha Ezrachi in the Sefer Brachos Motcha. He said a fantastic vote, and it's what is a key to understanding the whole concept of Golus. Jews are a very, very strange nation. Very, very strange people. It is rare to see a Jew in the same job, if it's a lowly job, year after year after year. You know, you get people who are a baker in a bakery shop, right? You see people in a bakery shop, and you see going to be working in a bakery shop for 20, 30, 40 years. I'm talking about the same workers. You know, the employees, and they're working in the same shop, serving the same cakes and the same 20, 30, 40 years. They do last more than a year in such a place. You know, he wants to really get into the management, and he wants to get into management. He wants to take a buy. He wants to buy it. I know somebody. Well, somebody who had a big, huge oil business in Iraq. Okay, in the middle of the night, he gets a message from one of his partners. Saddam Hussein is out to kill him. No, this guy, I've got his phone number on my mobile, right? Saddam Hussein is about to kill him. He has to escape. He ran away.
He was in Iraq.
He was living in Baghdad, right? He wasn't a from guy. In the middle of the night, he ran away, literally with a cloak on his back, nothing else. He moved to London, and he got his asylum seeker, he got in London, he got a job, went to the job centre, he got a job as the bellboy in Park Lane, in a hotel there in Park Lane, Hilton Park Lane. As a bellboy. Within a year, he was in management. Today he owns it. And another hotel as well. Okay? This is somebody, this is somebody who starts off from nothing. A Jew is moving, and he's moving. A vice president? Who wants to be a vice president? I want to be a president. Yeah? And president of this country, I'd be the most powerful man in the world. A Jew has got a push. Now, where does this push come from? It's a push that brings Jews to the top. And bring Jews, Rachman Litzlan, to suicide rates, and mental breakdown, because there's a tremendous drive, and that drive is not a drive in order to make money. It's a drive that a Jew has always to aspire to greatness, always to push more, to look for more, to be greater, to reach more. That is a Jew. A Jew is never satisfied. Other Shkoyach come to Moshe Rabbeinu and say to Moshe Rabbeinu, we want to be Kohenim. Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, Rav Lachem, what's your problem? You got enough. What? Rav Lachem is not a word used in the Jewish dictionary. You have enough is not a word you can possibly, it's a dirty word. You cannot possibly say to a Yid, you have enough ruchnius. What you should say to them is, you want to be Kohenim, you can't be Kohenim. Why? Kohenim is being given to a select group of people. But you're looking to aspire, kol hakavod to you. I'll make a special chabur to show how you can become Yisraelim, the greatest Yisraelim could possibly be. But to say to a Jew, Rav Lachem, you have enough, is totally contrary to anything Jewish. It's not a word that is used in Jewish vocabulary. You have enough ruchnius, what are you talking about? What are you talking about, have enough ruchnius? There's no such thing as having enough. He had Rechester Abramsky. Rechester Abramsky was based in London. Long before that, as a young man, he was in Russia, and he was taken and thrown to Siberia because he was learning Torah. He was learning Siberia. He said he can't imagine the tzoros there, the cold, the loneliness, the hunger, the torture. You can't imagine what was going on there. He said once he woke up in the morning, and he said, Moida ani lefanecho. And he goes, what's Moida ani lefanecho? I'm thank you, Hashem. For what? For the beatings I'm going to get today? For the Torah I can't learn? For the mitzvahs I can't keep? Moida ani lefanecho. What for? What? What for? What for? I prefer to die here. Then he carries on, Moida ani lefanecho, melechai v'kayom, shechazat v'nishmasi, v'chemlo, rabba munasecho. Rabba munasecho. Wow. I've got a munah. I can welcome my munah today. Munah they can't take away from me. It's worth getting up. It's worth living for that munah. I've got something to aspire for. I can aspire for greatness. Not in Torah here, but I can aspire for greatness in my munah. That's worth getting up for. Rabbi munah sechel. He got up. Ah, geshmak, Baruch Hashem. He said he felt such chizuk. He felt such chiz. There's something they can't take away from him. He can work on his munah. Rabbi munah sechel. The goyin. The Vilna Gaon, just before he cried, just before he died, he looked at his tzitzis and started to cry. And he said, look at this wonderful, wonderful world I'm leaving. For a few kopekas, a few little small coins, I can buy nitzchis, I can buy olam habo. I just go to the shop, I can buy a pair of tzitzis. In olam habo, I can't do that. Whatever I am, I am. Always looking to aspire, always looking to be great, always in times of darkness, looking for the flash of light to be great. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael, Rav Lachem, you have enough. Moshe Rabbeinu, what are you talking about? That's not Jewish. That's not a Jewish theme. How can you say such a thing? A Gadol B'Torah, somebody who is involved in mitzvahs, who is involved in growth, there's nothing more geshmak to them than doing a mitzvah. There's nothing more geshmak to a person who is involved in Yiddishkeit than doing a mitzvah, perfecting a mitzvah. Moshe Rabbeinu wants to come to Eretz Yisrael. What for? Ask the Gemara. Moshe Rabbeinu the Kohen for Oretz. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu want to come to Eretz Yisrael? The chilechem with piriyah hutzorich. He wanted to have Jaffa oranges. That's what he wants. Ela kach omer Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu said, "How about mitzvahs to stavol Yisrael? There are many mitzvahs are given to Klal Yisrael. They mekayim in Ela ba'oretz. It can only be mekayim if mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael." Gemara and Sefer Daf Yudav. Feedbase. Yeah. What's going on here? Moshe Rabbeinu has a whole Torah called after him. Moshe Rabbeinu has someone called Torah Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu has been living in Shemayim. Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest man who ever lived. He's been performing mitzvahs in the most solemn way his whole life. I want more. I need more. What do you need? Keep these mitzvahs. No, I want to aspire to greatness. I want to go to Eretz Yisrael. I want to get even more mitzvahs. Moshe Rabbeinu is looking for more. Looking for more. Looking for more. He cannot live without that. A gadol. A person is a Talmud Chacham, a person is a Shema Torah mitzvahs. For him, to do a mitzvah is poshut life. He needs it. Avraham Avinu wants to do chesed. There's no chesed today. Why is no chesed today? Because it's boiling hot outside. Nobody wants to go outside. Therefore, you're a potter. Ayin Shachman of Patrick. No, but he needs to do it. If he doesn't do it, he's dead. It's his breath, it's his life. If a person can't do a mitzvah, if a God can't do a mitzvah, it's poshut amputating a limb. If we can do a different mitzvah better, Skoya, I've got a very, very strong right arm, but I've got a left leg missing. I need to do this mitzvah that's missing. You know, it's like going and saying to a body, listen, you've given us a body, and therefore I'm going to look after my body. I'm going to have a 1 kilo of steak and a massive thing of chips and a whole bottle of delicious wine. And body saying, I want to give me schar for looking after my body. The call looked after my body in such a way, it's chips and things, I want schar for that. What are you talking about? You just enjoyed yourself. You need schar for that. You can ask for schar. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, Rabbeinu Shleinim, I'm not coming in here for myself. I don't need anything. You know what I need? I don't need anything as far as schar is concerned. I need it possible to live. Rabbeinu Shleinim, I'm not asking for matnas. I'm not saying, I did this, I did that. You know, I did wonderful things. Those wonderful things are very nice, but I needed those things for myself, not because I'm doing something for you. A good person, a person who's a tzaddik, does mitzvahs not because he's commanded to do it. It's because if he doesn't do it, he feels he's dead. He cannot live without doing a mitzvah. He cannot live without looking to do something greater. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu did not ask Rabbeinu Shleilam for all the schar, all the mitzvahs he did. That's not schar. That's like asking for schar for eating ice cream. You don't ask schar for eating ice cream. You ask schar for things you don't like to do. Moshe Rabbeinu lived with the mitzvahs. He loved the mitzvahs. Every mitzvah does a jewel in the crown. Therefore, he asked matnas chinam. He didn't see that he had anything he did was he should be entitled to get schar for. It's the greatest enjoyment in life. I'm going to get schar for eating ice cream. And therefore, he asked him a matnas chinam. What's a matnas chinam? Rabbeinu Shleilam, I want to do more. I need more. I need shaychus to you. I need connection to you. I need to have these mitzvahs never had beforehand. You know what? I need to do mitzvahs that I can only be mekayim in Eretz Yisrael. And without that, I can have all the other mitzvahs in the world. I can be Makai, I can have Mrs. Docker, I can have Mrs. Luluf, and Mrs. Matzah. If I don't have Trumas and Maishas, if I don't have the mitzvahs of Shavuos and Bikurim, then I'm poshut, I'm missing a limb. Rabbeinu Shleilam, please, I need it for my own life. Every single Shmona Esrei, every single time he could, begging Rabbeinu Shleilam, there's an amputation, there's a limb missing. Rabbeinu Shleilam, please give me back that limb. Please get greater. So Rabbeinu Shleilam to him, Moshe Rabbeinu, where do you want to go? Eretz Yisrael. Why does Eretz Yisrael? Why can do this, all these mitzvahs here? Because Eretz Yisrael is a level above. The Gemara says in many places that Eretz Yisrael is the only place in the world where you can do the mitzvahs of mitzvahs b'shleimus. Eretz Yisrael gives koyach that every mitzvah you do is that much better in Eretz Yisrael. How people can live in Chutz Lachatz l'chatchila is a posa apele. Eretz Yisrael, every mitzvah you do is b'shleimus. Eretz Yisrael has a koyach to make the mitzvahs much more worthwhile. Make every mitzvah done absolutely 100%, which you cannot do in Chutz La'aretz. So here we have Moshe Rabbeinu begging to Rabbeinu Shleilam. Rabbeinu Shleilam, I need more. Rabbeinu Shleilam, I want to get to the absolute perfect. Rabbeinu Shleilam says to him, Moshe Rabbeinu, I'd love to give it to you, but I can't. You know why? I cannot allow you into the land that is the land that signifies absolute greatness and push to greater levels. Eretz Yisrael is a land where it's beyond. It's the mitzvah with an extra. Eretz Yisrael represents that. I cannot allow you, Moshe, to come to Eretz Yisrael. Why? Two reasons. Rav Loch, you said once way back to Klal Yisrael, what do you need more for? Be satisfied with what you have. Moshe Rabbeinu, you can say that to Klal Yisrael. You can say to any Jew, is enough what you're trying to work harder for. If that is your attitude, if that is something which is the smallest, minutest level, you are believing you cannot come into a land that is absolutely represents and signifies going beyond. Something that signifies the complete antithesis to Rav Loch. Eretz Yisrael is a complete antithesis to Rav Loch. And therefore you, Moshe Rabbeinu, cannot come into Eretz Yisrael. You say Rav Loch and Bnei Levi, Rav Loch, you can't come into Eretz Yisrael either. Moshe Rabbeinu, by the May Merivah, he said, Rabbeinu Shleilam, I hit the rock. Kavod Kiddush Hashem. What's wrong with that? I did what I was supposed to do. What else do we need? You know, something happened. What else do we need? Rabbeinu Shlomo says to him, if you can do that, and not look for the greatest possible Kiddush Hashem, going above and beyond, hitting the rock, but speaking to the rock, that is a chet. Not looking for the most ideal way of connecting to the Rabbeinu Shlomo, pushing the level a little bit more, getting to the very, very best Kiddush Hashem. You don't understand that, then you have no shaykhus to Eretz Yisrael. You have no shaykhus coming to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is all about. all about the idea of not Rav Loch, that you're going to look more and more and more and become greater and greater. And therefore, Rabbeinu Shem did not allow Moshe Rabbeinu into a land that actually, on two occasions, he, in fact, fell in to his level, not in the minutest level, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is medactic with Tzadikim v'chut ha'saira. In his level, in his tiny level, he cannot allow somebody who, on two occasions, said Rav Loch, one occasion to Bnei Levi, and one occasion when he felt ill satisfied to make a Kiddush Hashem, not the absolute perfect Kiddush Hashem, but Kiddush Hashem, he cannot allow him to go into a land that completely is against any Rav Loch. Eretz Yisrael is all about pushing for the pushing beyond the limits. Eretz Yisrael is a place where, unless the minimum is to look beyond the maximum, that's Eretz Yisrael. The minimum is to look beyond the maximum. Eretz Yisrael has that koyach, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu could not come in. Moshe Rabbeinu can be the God of the Kolodom. Moshe Rabbeinu can be the greatest Novi. Moshe Rabbeinu can be living in Shemayim. Moshe Rabbeinu can be bringing down a Torah that Eretz Yisrael cannot have. Moshe Rabbeinu, why? Because he did not look and he did not fit in to the motive of Eretz Yisrael, and that is pushing the boundaries, going beyond our call of what we have to do, going beyond the necessity of just doing what we need to do, and going beyond that and doing what the Rabbeinu Shlomo wants us to do even further, pushing the boundaries. That is Eretz Yisrael. We are in Eretz Yisrael. Baruch Hashem, Rabbeinu Shlomo has given us Eretz Yisrael. Okay, and many of us are quite happy with where we are. Quite happy with where we are. Baruch Hashem, we have our chavrusas. Baruch Hashem, we have our very nice shuls. And Baruch Hashem, we have our children nice chadorim. And Baruch Hashem, we have nice Shabbos tables. And Baruch Hashem, we have mahudah matzahs. And Baruch Hashem, we have fantastic esrogim. Baruch Hashem, very happy with life. Rabbi Yisai, fundamental chadush harim. And he said to chadush harim, I don't know how to cry for the churban habayis. I don't know. The Beis Midrash means nothing to me. I don't know, it's a very nice building. What does it mean? So he said back to him, if you can't cry for the churban habayis, cry for your own churban. Cry for the churban of yourself. That is a churban. Now, Baisai, if we can be complacent, if we can be happy with our levels of ruchnius, if we are satisfied with where we are, we're no different to a child who was born into a concentration camp. And he thinks that Baruch Hashem today was a very good day because we had an extra peel of potato in our watery soup. That is what we are today. We're living children born into a concentration camp, and we're happy with that, and that is pathetic. If we can be satisfied, and it's Rav Loch, if we have the mindset that Baruch Hashem is happy where we are, that is, the more happy we are, we're holding in Ruchnius, the deeper we are in Golus. The more people can be satisfied with a minimal amount of mitzvahs, the deeper they are, Nebuch, Rachmon and Litzlan, living in a concentration camp and not even knowing about it. I want to give you an idea. The Beis Av, Rachm Shazinger, said something very, very beautiful. He said, the different inuyim on Tisha B'Av, you mustn't eat, you mustn't drink, you mustn't do business, you mustn't have relations, you mustn't have all the different... There's all different... What are these all for? To make you miserable. Everybody's not interested in making you miserable. That's not the idea. The idea is like this. It's to make you aware. Make you aware of what? Eating and drinking. People who are the most minimal level, they can drink. Big amarats and eat and drink. So Boyinshon says to them, do you think you're eating and drinking? Do you think this is food? Do you know what it's like when the Beis Midrash was built, what food was like? The Gemara says when the Beis Midrash was destroyed, it took all the way, all the Shuman Apeiris, all disappeared. That's not eat and drink. That's nothing. So I'm just telling you, don't eat today. And the amount that you're not eating today, the difference you feel between eating and not eating, is a very, very small difference compared to what you are eating, the food you're eating, to what the food should really be like. Therefore, if you don't know how to mourn my Beis HaMikdash, you can mourn your own posture what you're eating. Mourn the fact that you're eating garbage. Mourn the fact that you're eating nothing which is completely lacking in any form of even Gashmir's taste. Cry for that, Rahman al-Islam. Don't be, this child. It's all child in a concentration camp. Nebuch, he doesn't know how to daven. But at least wake up. At least know that you're in a concentration camp. At least try and escape. Hopefully that by doing so, hopefully you realize one day what it means to be a live person, to live in a normal society. But to be happy with the taste of food we're living in today. But instead, don't eat anything today. I'm just telling you, not eating, Bechlal, is less of a contrast of the food they're eating to the food that tasted like in those days. Gemara says, with Be'ilus, Gemara says the Be'ilus of the Tam Tashish Mitzvah has been taken away and was given to Oiva Aveira. Each and each person's level, Gemara talks about on Gashmias, on business level. Yeah, business people not have to do business on Mamaki Mamasa Maton in these days. Why? The Gemara talks about how wealthy people were in the time of the Beis Hamikdash. And the Gemara says the only reason why we have Panosa today is because the Bein Shem does not want to ask to be any less than the Goyim. Yeah, the klala of Lema'asim le'ga'alten. Yeah, that even when you're in Golos, I'll remember what you like. And therefore, Lema'asim le'ga'alten, our coach box out, you should be at least like the Goyim. But that's the Goyim. The idea of living above the Goyim, living in the Ruch, in the Gashmias level, the wealth of Kodesh Baruch Hu should be giving each and every one of the Balibol who are keeping the mitzvahs, is way, way, way beyond our expectations today. That Rabbi Yishan says to businessmen, be mamayit masa matam. Focus on the fact that the amount that you're doing less business today is a fraction of what it would be like in time of the Beis Hamikdash. And Rabbi Yishai, for those people who Baruch Hashem are beyond just eating and drinking, for those people who are beyond business people, the Bnei Torah, Rabbi Yishan says to us in Tisha B'Av, you're not allowed to learn. You're not allowed to learn those things that you want to learn. Why? Why? Because we should realize that Baruch Hashem today, although Baruch Hashem today we now have to collect a Rambam, and we now have to work to a Shmaitzah, and we now have to work to make a volley of Pulpur, Bekiva Ego, the Chaim Oiva, it's nothing. It is nothing. Those levels of learning we with today is so minimal, or so nebuch. It's so nebuch, we've been so badly affected since the Churban, that we are poshut, we are a billion light years away to what we could be in levels of ruchness of understanding Torah. Navi says, Lama lenetzach tishkachenu tazvin lo erech yomim. Lama lenetzach tishkachenu, what does it mean? Why lenetzach tishkachenu did you forever leave us? Tazvinu did you leave us lo erech yomim? So the Mephoshim asks, what do you mean Lama lenetzach tishkachenu? The Navi says, because we left the Torah, that's why I left you. Why ask me, Bereshon, why did you leave us? The answer is, I left you because you never kept the mitzvahs. Why Lama lenetzach tishkachenu tazvin lo erech yomim? What's all that about? Says the Mephoshim, Lomo, why? Lo netzach tishkachenu. Why did you take away from us our netzach? If you want to punish us in our own bodies, send us into Golus. But why did you take away the Koyach HaTorah from us? Lomo lo netzach. Why did you take Nitzchias away from us? Lomo lo netzach tishkachenu. Why take Nitzchias away from us? Why tazmenu oyachomim? Because our small focus on how much in getting ruchnias is going to affect us lo'olam vo'et. It's going to leave us for an olam haba. If we don't know how to learn, if we don't know what to focus on in mitzvahs, we're not only affected in this world, we're affected forever and ever. No more la nesach tishkachenu. Why do we take away our nitzchias? Tazvein lo oyachomim left us forever and ever. The Rambam, look in the Rambam. The Rambam says again and again and again. It talks about Mashiach. The Rambam says, and Mashiach is going to come in order to take away all the daigas of panosah, all the daigas of gashmis. That what? That we can focus on olam haba. Because today, the biggest tzar we have today is poshut, we cannot focus on olam haba. Why is it such a terrible tzar? Because we can't focus on olam hazeh, big deal, it'll be over, 70, 80, 90, 100 years. If we can't focus on olam haba, what that means is, l'netzach, netzachim, forever and ever and ever, we're going to be lacking. And therefore we engulf today, and we're so preoccupied in what you're doing in Shabbos Nachamu, and so disconnected with Ruchnius that unfortunately we have our Olam Haba Nitzchias are going to be left forever and ever. And therefore we should be sitting down on Tisha B'Av, Poshut crying over our own Churban, Rabbi Yishleilam. I'm so happy that I know Shas. Pathetic! Yishno Chol HaTorah Kulo. Yishno all the ins and outs of Maisa Merkava. That's what we should be focused on. That's going to give you a bit of idea what happened, what the Yiridus of Deiris is in Torah. The Gemara says even in times of Gemara Bavli, the Bavli is called Shachoshech compared to the time. The Talmud is called Choshech compared to the time of the Beis Hamikdash. The Rambam talks about by the Goinim, where there are tens of thousands of people sitting in the yeshivas of the Goinim. Tens of thousands of Talmidei Chachamim. The Rambam said they knew everything. He said, in our terrible generation where people are forgetting everything, says the Rambam, got about Yad HaChazakah. Says the Rambam, what type of people are you talking about? People who never left one night of Torah their entire life. Every night of Torah they're based in learning. And that was the Nebuch generation then. The Amoratsim then were spending every day in learning. Reb Chaim Soloveitchik said when he was a young bocher, when he's Avreich, he sends 40 daf a day. And he says, but it's all wissen sein, you should know, ich hab abgestellt, wo ist das abstellen. And I stopped where I had to stop. In other words, he went Be'un where he had to go Be'un. 40 daf a day, and they called him a butlin. You know why? Because at night he used to go for a walk to clear his head. As of Chaim, we're also talking about thousands of years ago. We're talking about a few generations ago. People called him a butlin, learning 40 daf a day, because he used to go for a little walk at night. Rav Bengis talks about his brought to Netziv as a young bocha, by his uncle, and his uncle said to Netziv, you should just know that this bocha knows half of Shas. So Netziv says, it's our shod, it's our shod from sight, gaze it from Lenin. It's a waste of time talking about this. Just sit and learn. He wasn't one bit impressed that it's boiling your half of Shas. You're not talking about hundreds of years ago, you're talking about a generation ago. Beautiful story. Rav Schlesinger says when he was learning in Petach Tikva, in Yeshiva in Petach Tikva, in Lomza, in Petach Tikva, not so long ago, 65 years ago, I worked out. There's a cook who didn't know how to cook bechlal, did not know how to cook. Every day, this cook, this man cook, would give them leaven, a bit of yogurt, and a cheap fish. Okay, a half full piece of cheap fish. Yeah? And he used to eat it. So the mothers of the boys are very, very upset. You know, it's bochum in yeshiva, you know. So they came in and decided to be hitnavut. They came in to volunteer their time to teach this cook how to cook decent food in an inexpensive way. So 1 week one mother did it, another week another mother did it. And he started teaching all different things. You know, instead of having half full fish and leaven every meal, after a few weeks, the older Bachman came to Rosh Hashiva and they begged him. He says, please, it's never been in our yeshiva before that boys have started talking about food. We used to eat and we used to go. Today, Bachman was talking about food and what food was better. Last week, about better. This week, Bachman is staying in the dining room too long. He used to eat, he used to go back to the Beis Medrash. Please, I beg of you, want back our old cook. Please send this woman away, they're destroying our learning. And Rosh Hashiva sent this woman away. This was 65 years ago. Bochum, not talking about Gdol Ador. Today, you know, if it's not a siyum every day in a camp, yeah, and they don't have fleishik, then possibly they have to go to a different camp. How far we are from Yiddishkeit. And if people are happy, you know, Baruch Hashem, you know, my son, no, he's unbelievable. He's 9 years old and he's already learning Mishnayos. Rachman, it's son, 9 years old. You know, the Vulnagon, you're 9 years old. Come on, where's our complacency? Where are we? Where are we holding? You know, where's that Rav Lachem? And that is what you have to cry on. It's his mamish that Inuyim are there to remind us that we're very, very far from home. We're very far from home. And the more we feel satisfied with our position, and the more we feel happy with our ruchnias, poshut, the golus has got further into us. We've got a daven, Rebbeinu Shleilim. We've got a daven that every mitzvah should be done with Shleimus. Rebbeinu Shleilim, give us back the base midrash. Poshut, that you should have an opportunity to get back to Olam Habo. Not to be stuck in a Nesach Tishkachem and Tazvim Erechomim to end up for 120 years and get this Nebuchadnezzar little portion because they have no aspirations to growth. We want to have this aspire to greatness, aspire to Nitzchias, aspire to become a mamish, a chelik of Torah where every single mitzvah is a limb. If you don't have the limb, we need it for ourselves, not because of Asir Bein Shleilam for Shchar for mitzvahs. That is what we should be looking for. And that is why Tisha B'Av is before Elul. It's before Bein HaZmanim. It's plenty of time to think, where are we? Who are we? What are we satisfied with? What are we aspiring for? And Be'ez Hashem, the Bein HaZmanim will give us back, build a base of Mikdash, and build a Mavis Netzach, and Bein HaZmanim take away and give us back our Nitzchias again, and give us back our aspirations again, and be able to live Be'ez Hashem like a Jew should be living.